Welcome to a podcast for Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of
Christ. Good morning, everyone. Not used to being up here. This is interesting. Happy Mother's Day, first of all, to all the amazing moms out there. For those that don't know me, I'm Toni Crowe, so hello. So Mike asked me a couple of weeks ago to speak about faith and parenting, and I honestly felt a little bit like a deer in headlights when he asked me because I had no idea what I was going to talk about. And honestly, as a new Christian, felt pretty ill-equipped to cover this topic because I'm still kind of learning the ropes, I feel, even though I've been coming here for about 3 years. I'm still pretty new. So I spent the last couple of weeks thinking about how our relationship with our Heavenly Father sets the best example for our parenting journey and how convoluted our idea of parenting can become when we stray away from our relationship with Him and instead only look to the world for parenting advice. So when I started my journey of motherhood almost 9 years ago, I didn't know Jesus at all. Like most moms-to-be, the moment I found out I was expecting, I began reading all of the parenting books I could possibly get my hands on because I wanted to be the best parent I could be and I wanted to do everything right. From there, of course, my son was born, and everything I had read in those books basically went straight out the window. And as he's grown through all of the stages from infant to toddler to now a very, very active 8-year-old boy, he's always kept me on my toes. Not to mention, I now have an intelligent 8-year-old stepson to add to the mix as well. And basically, just when I think I've got this whole parenting thing all figured out, it changes and I have to change my game plan again. As moms, I feel like we experience so much pressure from the outside world on how to be good moms. And from the moment we share the news that a new life is on the way, you get people kind of giving you this unsolicited advice of what to do and what not to do and what's right and what's wrong. And of course, we all want to try to do things the right way and in our own way too. And, you know, this advice that we get from people also changes as each stage changes as well. Adding to social media, you know, sometimes I find that it's hard. We can compare ourselves to other moms. So I'm sure we all have that one mom on our friend list who seems to just have it all together, and they're posting all of these pictures, and it seems like they're kind of doing everything and then some, and you're just kind of like, how is this happening? And it kind of can make you feel like you're not quite measuring up sometimes. But the truth is, as parents, we have absolutely no idea what we're doing. We're really just winging it, honestly. But we do the best we can in the moment with what we have, and we continue learning as we go. Like learning to swim while diving into the pool, only the dives last about 20 years and counting. I'm sure we're all familiar with the fact as well that parenting isn't always easy. Being a mom and having children is such a blessing, and it's such a gift from God. But there are definitely those times when the verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," may become our mantra of survival, and we get through it. So instead of looking to the world or social media for parenting advice, I've learned the importance of looking to my relationship with our Heavenly Father as He provides us with all of the fundamental virtues of parenting that we need to be the best parents that we can be. And the Bible provides many examples of this. So we know that God offers us unconditional love and acceptance, as proven by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. And these are two essential elements that we must always foster in our relationships with our children. Just as the door to God is always open to us through prayer, we must also offer a listening ear to our children to hear about their lived experiences and work to teach them and guide them, just as Jesus did for the many crowds during his time here on earth and continues to do for us through God's Word and the Holy Spirit. By living out these qualities with our children, we can also provide them with healing and comfort when it's needed. Of course, we can't perform miracles like Jesus did, like covering somebody's eyes with mud to help our children see, as in John 9:6. But we can provide emotional healing by being there for them when it counts the most, and even some physical healing by covering their cuts and scrapes with Band-Aids and kissing it better, which never seems to fail. Additionally, God is always patient with us, and I am so thankful for His patience. throughout this journey of mine, of getting to know Christ as my King and as my Savior, and through all of my spiritual wrestling, I am grateful for His unending patience and reassurance. And it is such a good example of the patience we need to have with our children. Lord knows we need it sometimes. And of course, forgiveness. As parents, forgiveness is a necessity. From the early stages of being bitten by your toddler to the later stages of hearing the heart-wrenching words, "I hate you," coming out of the mouths of our children when they don't agree with their parenting, thanks to the Father for setting such a supreme example of forgiveness, for being the role model that He is. Finally, just as God is always looking out for our best interests, even when we don't understand it at the time, because we cannot see His bigger plan for us, we are always looking out for the best interests of our children too. And this takes discipline. As Hebrews 12:11 states, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it provides a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Overall, reflecting on parenting and faith over the past 2 weeks has been a learning experience for me. Thank you, Pastor Mike. And what I've learned is that as we strive to be more like Jesus, our relationship with our children should aim to mirror the qualities of our relationship with God. Thank you. Well, yeah.
Definitely not my comfort zone.
I'm really good at pushing people's comfort zones.
Can we just have a word of prayer first, please? Father, I just thank You that You're here, and I just pray that You would use my story to give hope and encouragement to somebody here. Amen. When Mike first asked me to share my story, I said to him, "Mike, you don't know how dysfunctional my family is. We try to put the fun in dysfunction, but it doesn't always work." I'm so glad that He has given us permission to be honest with our emotions and to just be honest and upfront. So here goes. As I was thinking about what to say and asking God to direct me, He told me, "Just tell your story. Just tell it." So in doing the research for this, He brought up a lot of emotions that were buried, and I read somewhere that it says that if telling your story there's still tears, it means that you haven't been healed yet. So healing has come in another way through this story. Another layer of onion peel has come off. So I have three children. I have Noah, and he has two girls. Naomi, she has two boys. And Rebecca, who lives in Saudi Arabia, she has two girls and a boy. When Noah was my firstborn son, so I figured that he was very special because God says firstborn sons are, so he was very special. And then when Naomi came along, she was an answer to prayer. She was. We had waited for a long time to have her. We had struggled with miscarriage and infertility. And when she was born, she was my princess. She was everything to me. She was my idol. I idolized her. And then at 3 weeks, she developed spinal meningitis. And the doctors said at that time that they didn't expect her to survive. And if she did survive, then she would be deaf or retarded, which was the term that they used back then. So I just went to God and I said, "Please, God, would You heal her? But more important than that, would You make her grow up to follow You? Because that's my heart's desire, that my children would follow God." And He healed her. There's no problem with her in that way, but she's still not following God. And then when Rebecca was born, she was born with pneumonia. So again, I found myself having to say, "Oh, Father, I want these whom You've given to me to be with me so that they can see Your glory." So I haven't always been a Christian, and that's a whole other story. But when I got saved, I really believed that with Jesus in the family, it was a happy, happy home, right? He made everything right. We were a Christian family. We went to church. The kids went to the Christian school. My husband was a godly man, a leader in the church. He preached the word of God. But we lived under the law with lots of rules and regulations. And there was severe emotional abuse. I realized that our family was falling apart. Years before my husband left me, God gave me Isaiah 54. Fear not, you will not no longer live in shame. The shame of your youth and the sorrows of widowhood will be remembered no more. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief, as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God. And I was a young wife. I was married very young. So I went for marriage counseling for 4 years. He went twice. It really takes two. And I would say, we can work this out. We can make it happen. It's nothing uncommon that we're struggling with. And he would just say, that's your theology. We had this saying that divorce was never an option. Murder, maybe, but never divorce. I read The Power of a Praying Wife by Stormy Ormondson, did all the steps, prayed all the prayers, and after 26 years, he decided he wanted a new life with new friends. He had met somebody on the internet and left. I just want to encourage any of you that are struggling with your relationships to really try to work it out. It's not easy having a partner, and I have so many regrets about how I mothered and how I was a wife, but I have no regrets over trying to save my marriage. I did all I could, but it takes two. Now, here's the thing. You've got to understand that one of my passions is for families. That is, and I had to ask myself, is this the fruit of my labor? After 26 years of devoting myself to being a wife and a mother, here I am, divorced. Two of my children are divorced. Noah didn't want anything. He didn't want me to tell the girls about Jesus. They had never been to church. Their parents had never been to church. Their mother had never been to church. Her mother had never been to church. Like, this was a generation of unchurched people. So when I started talking about Jesus, Eden said, Nana, Jesus is a bad word. And the other one said, Jesus Christ? And I said, yeah, he's got a second name. And there was a season where Noah withdrew from me for quite a while. Naomi is following her own way of God. And Rebecca is, as I said, she lives in Saudi Arabia, and she's become a Muslim. So much for my little house on the prairie family. I'm telling you this to let you know I am not giving up on the promises God has given me. I believe that we are the generation to break the curses that have been passed down from generation to generation. I will stand in the gap for my family. In Joel 2:25, the Lord says, I will give you back what you have lost to the stripping locust, the cutting locust, the swarming and the hopping locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Notice that he said it was him that sent the destroying army. Charles Price says, God will allow pain in our hearts and our lives so that we better understand him and better understand other people. Don't allow your circumstances to go to waste. Don't hide them. Let them be instruments in his hands. Bad experiences, embarrassing experiences, and humbling experiences. Our experiences are unique to us and can be a blessing to others, as I hope my story will be. Joel 2:28-29 says, then after I've poured out my spirit, my reins again, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on all servants, men and women alike. I am so thankful I have been given a second chance with my grandchildren to be able to share grace, mercy, the unconditional love of God with them. When Eden was 11, she asked to go to church. When invited to stand for worship, I said that my leg was too sore. As you can see, I've got issues that make standing really hard. And she replied, now remember, this is a kid that's never been to church. Nana, you mean Jesus died on a cross for you and you can't stand for him? Well, you can well imagine, amidst the pain, up I got. God often uses music to minister me. And the number one hit of the past few months has been The Reckless Love of God. I have used it as a prayer for my family, my friends, and those who need a touch of the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And I believe that we're going to play it after this. So as we play it, and if the words are up there, just listen to the words and just use it as a prayer. In Luke 15, 1-7, Jesus tells the story about leaving the 99 to go and seek that which was lost. I have to constantly remind myself that he will leave the 99 and go seek each one of my children. They are in his hands, and I have to give them to him. The number two song that's been over the past few months is King of My Heart that we sang. It was just so appropriate that was, because it's right up there with number one. Psalm 37, 25 and 26 says, "Once I was young, now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.